Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. We're going to begin by talking with Bishop Daniel Thomas of Toledo. He's recently released a document that will help teachers and parents understand and respond to the issue of gender ideology. This is a beautiful work that's factual, systematic, but also deeply pastoral because it comes from the heart of a good fatherly shepherd. It's called The Body Reveals the Person, A Catholic Response to the Challenges of Gender Ideology. And so we're going to talk about that as we begin the hour. And then after that, we will speak with my friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who is of EWTN News. We'll talk about church news for the remaining two segments. And at the end, we will dive deeply into the wondrous legacy and heritage of Pope Saint Pius X, whose feast day we celebrate today. The man did so much good for us that we are thankful for to this very day, and there's much for us to reclaim in terms of his heritage. Let's go to the headlines for now.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, August 21st. It's the feast of St. Pius X, and today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. President Trump plans to patrol the streets of the nation's capital tonight alongside law enforcement. In an interview, Trump said, "I'm going to be out tonight, I think with the police and with the military in Washington, D.C." It comes after Trump ordered a federal takeover of the city's police force as part of his crackdown on crime. A White House official said the details are still being ironed out. The U.S. and European Union are sharing the details of their new framework trade agreement. Tariffs on European cars and auto parts will fall from 25% to 15% if the EU gets rid of all tariffs on American industrial products. The EU is also expected to invest $600 billion across U.S. strategic sectors over the next 3 years. Three U.S. warships could arrive near Venezuela as early as Sunday in an effort to crack down on drug cartels. The USS San Antonio, the USS Iwo Jima, and the USS Fort Lauderdale have reportedly been deployed to the Venezuelan coast with 4,500 service members. The Trump administration is also offering a $50 million reward for the arrest of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who has been accused of drug trafficking. And the Powerball jackpot is rolling over once again. With no grand prize winner on Wednesday night, the already massive jackpot now stands at $700 million, with the next drawing set to take place on Saturday. There were a couple of million-dollar winners in Michigan and Oklahoma, and a $2 million winning ticket sold in Tennessee. From the AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Joining me to talk about a recent document he released for the sake of his diocese is Bishop Daniel Thomas, Bishop of Toledo, Ohio since 2014, chairman of the USCCB's Pro-Life Activities Committee. He recently released this document, The Body Reveals the Person, A Catholic Response to the Challenges of Gender Ideology for the Diocese of Toledo. Your Excellency, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Dr. Marcus, thank you. Great to be with you and all your listeners, and thanks so much for the opportunity to chat today about this new guidance document, The Body Reveals the Person.
I'm very thankful for this document, and I'm actually firmly convinced that this, alongside contributions of some of your fellow bishops like Archbishop Vigneron, are going to really shape the local church's response to what is otherwise a pervasive attack on especially young children. And so as pastor and as shepherd, I want to invite you to share with us your own fatherly heartbreak at your children being besieged with this onslaught of gender ideology.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. Of course, the first reality, people often say, well, why would you write something like this? And I think, of course, it's prompted by a fatherly heart.
Yeah.
Because, of course, any father who knows that his children are in distress wants to assist his children and to help them, first of all, with love, with patience, with prudence, and, of course, with truth and charity. So I think all of those things really sum up the effort, because I've been asked repeatedly, I opened the document by saying, you know, people have expressed their concerns for this, and you know, we can't expect that our faithful can go to every single, Vatican teaching or document. And so I tried to put together in a very readable and, I hope, a digestible way, something that people can take, first, to understand what is this gender ideology, second, to realize, you know, the facts of what exists in our culture, third, you know, to say, here is Catholic teaching, especially on the human person, and obviously the theology of the body, to warn against the harms of transitioning and what that looks like, and then to offer pastoral guidance and a pastoral response as best we can.
One of the issues that you highlight as a result of considering the postural nature of the issue is that when someone ascribes to gender ideology, it's a direct attack on the human person and denies that there's a real God-willed duality to the sexual nature of the human person. I want to invite you to comment on that, and even from your own experience, how that damages people.
Surely. Well, I think the document points out, and certainly as Christians and with our basis in sacred scripture, we understand that from conception, we are assigned a sex, and that is assigned by the Lord, and it's given to us even before our birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not something that can be changed. It's not something arbitrary, and it's not something that depends on feelings. Now, with great sensitivity to the suffering that folks might be feeling, I think we also have to say, you know, I love to teach, Marcus. I think, as you know from our chats, I like to teach by analogy. And so, you know, I have had this question even in some of our Catholic schools, and persons will ask, well, why, you know, why would you not, why does the church teach against this, in quotes? Well, the church teaches love, and she teaches the understanding of the body that is in accordance with the Lord and his teaching. And by analogy, I always ask, if you had a young woman who was clearly suffering from anorexia, you would certainly not affirm her decision to fast even further and really to compromise her bodily integrity.
Right.
So likewise, why would we in any way affirm someone where they are perhaps, you know, really deeply struggling emotionally, psychologically, spiritually? Why would we affirm that this is a good thing? We would want to help them and to draw them out of that for healing and for recognizing who they were created to be, obviously, in the image and likeness of God according to his will.
One of the things you highlight in your document, as you just mentioned, in rejecting God's plan for human persons and his will for us, is that social media has really hyped up the narrative and created a real social contagion. I'm no expert on the matter, but I can safely say this. I think the actual amount of individuals who have true severe body dysmorphia, gender dysphoria, whatever, is significantly lesser than the sheer number of people who are coming out identifying as transgender, and social media as a social contagion has a lot to do with it, as you've mentioned.
Yes, exactly. And of course, the reality is that much of media content is very, very damaging to our young people, because it's to social media that they are turning rather than to trusted adults, to parents, to others in their lives who would be able to assist them with truth and charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're turning to social media, which is inundating them with these messages. And I think we can't, you know, they denigrate the traditional morality and biblical beliefs, and we can't take that lightly. And we really have to assist them to realize the damage that's being done.
considering that, you know, like thinking about the damage that's being done, you really employ the language of the theology of the body, especially the spousal nuptial meaning of the body. And I really want to commend you for the brilliance of doing so. Can you please speak to why that kind of a biblical anthropology is the solution to this problem?
Surely. And I think that's, you know, some people may say, well, it might be a little bit elevated language, but I hope, Dr. Peter, that the language is explained clearly enough that people will be able to engage it.
Mm-hmm.
And the spousal nature of the body clearly is created. And it's interesting, you know, we tried to choose very attractive, inviting, and enlivening artwork for this. So the picture of the image of Adam and Eve on the cover is actually in the Toledo Museum of Art, believe it or not. But that spousal meaning, you know, that the body reveals a person as a boy or a girl, and following sacred scripture, of course, from Genesis, male and female, he made them.
Mm-hmm.
And it indicates the equal dignity of man and woman as created, and their personal exalted goodness, as I write, of their complementarily bodily selves.
Right.
So there is this complementarity, and then obviously this spousal meaning, that this is the very meaning of the body itself.
Your Excellency, because of that, one other thing you highlight just a little later in the document is that's precisely why there's no realm within which a man can say he feels like a woman, or a woman can say she feels like a man, because you're effectively saying, because of the complementary nature of the sexes, that's an impossibility.
Right. So I think we have to be careful there, because somebody can steal something. But I even do address that, Dr. Peter, I'm using your last name and your first name.
No, that's good. That's fine.
The reality is that feelings cannot define.
Mm-hmm.
So persons may have feelings of this or that, but the recognition has to say, what is the inherent goodness of this personal and spousal meaning? And, of course, the basis of the church's teaching about the imperative of respecting and caring for one's body, and the grave wrongness of rejecting one's sex, trying to alter the characteristics to appear to change the body, because the reality is we simply cannot change reality. So while we recognize people's feelings, we also realize that we cannot change reality, and we have to help them regarding those feelings and in every way assist them, if possible, to align those feelings with, of course, the truth and objective reality.
One thing you do highlight then as a response to that is that the church and, you know, good pastors recognize people are in pain as a result of all of these issues, but the way forward isn't the overt affirmation and validation of every single feeling and whim that the human person might be undergoing.
Right. And I think we have to acknowledge that people are in pain.
Mm-hmm.
We have to acknowledge that people are carrying crosses, which they find very heavy. You know, I even indicate that as Christians, we're called to be like Simon of Cyrene,
right,
helping them to bear their crosses. But we have to recognize, again, that, for example, I indicate, you know, good medicine will recognize the difference between empathy and appropriately acknowledging a person's feelings on the one hand, and on the other, allowing a person's feelings to dictate medical care, which is contrary to objective truth in his or her situation. So we can't allow feelings to be determinative, and in fact, they really are not a reliable indicator of one's identity.
Yeah. In about 20 seconds, can you please give us a fatherly exhortation in facing this issue?
Surely. So I guess the first thing I would do is invite folks to read the document,
mm-hmm,
at www.toledodiocese.org. And I would say, to conclude, for those who struggle, whether that is those who struggle personally with these issues or familially or with friends, you are loved by Christ, by the church, and by your bishops. Your sufferings are not meaningless, but Christ can transform them.
Thank
you. So stand firm in prayer, the sacraments, and Christian Fellowship, and trust that God's plan is for your good, because in the end, your body reveals who God created you to be.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, host of Ave Maria in the Afternoon and Unveiling the Covenant. Ave Maria Radio has been at the forefront of dialoguing faith at the intersection of all things pertaining to human flourishing. We need your help. Our infrastructure is in urgent need of updating. We want to ask you to support us in this summer campaign. Every gift, no matter how big or small, will be useful to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you. You are broadcasting hope with us.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Every Thursday, we get the blessing of covering church news and current events in light of the Catholic faith. And joining us to do that is the inimitable Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President, Editorial Director of EWTN News. Matthew, I'm always blessed by your generosity. Thank you for being here.
Oh, great to be with you, as always.
So, we've got quite a lot of news to talk about, and also a happy, blessed feast day of Pope St. Pius X.
Same to you. One of my favorite popes, and one of the number of saintly popes of the 20th century.
We've been spoiled, to be sure. So, let's talk about just how spoiled we are, because now we have patron saints for not just a few countries, but the entire Arabian Peninsula.
Well, that's right. This is one of my favorite recent developments, simply because it's sort of a testament to the growth of what we are seeing in the church around the world. And it's also a demonstration, I think, of sort of the closeness that exists between the missionary endeavors and the growing Christian presence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to qualify that in parts of the Arab world, in parts of the Islamic world. So in that sense, I think this is all very good news. And specifically what we're talking about is that the Vatican Dicastery is in charge of all of this. The Dicastery for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments has approved basically a new calendar for what's called the Apostolic Vicariate of Southern Arabia. And that also entails new patron saints. And the saints in question are Saints Peter and Paul.
Yeah.
And then we also have, as a patroness of all of the countries in the Gulf, the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of Arabia.
I'm sorry, I chuckle.
And then
a
we can also talk about some of the other saints who are sort of linked to the calendar, but go ahead.
I chuckle at the title because, you know, like books and movies, so all of a sudden Lawrence of Arabia plays in my mind, which is unfortunate, really, because clearly the allusions are different. So the Vatican has seen very clearly that this is an area of the world that
needs to be dedicated to very specific intercession. And so, I mean, talk about pulling out all the stops. You've got the two giants, Peter and Paul, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. What do we think is the vision of Pope Leo here?
Well, I think part of it is this building on what we know was the genuine effort of the recent popes. I think in particular of Pope Francis, who made a number of visits to the Islamic world and was very focused on the importance of those relationships. Pope Benedict XVI used that outreach, that interreligious dialogue. There was tied to it the idea of reciprocity, in which there's a certain understandable expectation that if you have the rights of Muslims in particular recognized in the West, that there should be a similar process of reciprocity in the Islamic world. Pope Francis focused on a broader topic of what he would refer to as fraternity, and you can see that playing out in, for example, his very famous encyclical Fratelli Tutti. I think Pope Leo is continuing to build on that. We'll have to see. It's obviously early days. We're barely past 100 days in his pontificate, but I think one of the things that he's doing in this decree is to establish the spiritual foundation for where you go next.
Right.
And that's sort of putting all of your bases together. You're establishing a very clear spiritual foundation for what we all hope will come next. Now, let's also be clear that there is still a very, very tiny Catholic population in this part of the world. Most of those who are there because they work in the region. So we have, for example, a fairly growing number of Asians from the Filipinos in particular who are working there. We have also, of course, many Western workers, including many Americans who go there, who are working there. So there is this need for a presence in that region. And I think we have seen some progress in recent years in sort of how restructuring some of this in recognition of this growth. And so we know, for example, that the Apostolic Vicariate of Arabia was sort of reorganized. It was created basically into two, of Northern Arabia and then of Southern Arabia. And in that sense, too, we're seeing more progress. And so all of it is really together a very opportune moment, I think. But at the same time, we also have to be very sober-minded and very clear-eyed about the challenges that Christians still face across the whole of the Arab world.
Yep. And if we may also expand that conversation, the dedication of the entire Arabian Peninsula to the intercession of Peter and Paul and Mary and the other martyrs, it isn't just for the good of the Catholics there. There's a grander vision for the common good in that area.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And there are many people who see this as this recognition, again, of common ground. And I think that's where Pope Francis's efforts, particularly at fraternity, come in. It's also an opportunity for further outreach to moderates in the region who certainly look at the recent events, the war between Hamas and Israel. We look at the ongoing conflict with Iran. We see the problems of the Houthi in Yemen. So anything that can lead to greater dialogue, greater cooperation, greater recognition of the inherent rights of religious freedom, all of those things are helpful. And so in this sense, placing ourselves, as we do, under Saints Peter and Paul, two of the great missionaries, Paul in particular as a missionary for the region, and of course the Blessed Mother, who is herself held in great esteem in Islamic teaching.
Yep.
As now the patroness of the Gulf countries. And then we can also look at some of the others, the saints who are sort of connected with this. I think, for example, of the martyrs of Yemen. There's the Ethiopian king who was responsible for introducing Christianity to Yemen. And then there's a missionary priest who's a blessed who promoted interreligious dialogue and who was actually killed in Algeria. So names that aren't, his name was Charles Deckers, names that aren't exactly household names, and yet they play into this as well, that we want the prayers and the intercession of all of them to bring peace and authentic dialogue.
Matthew, if I may ask that we pivot before the end of the segment to another country, Bolivia. The Bolivian bishops seem to be hopeful and dedicating to, again, Mary's intercession, the new chapter in the political life of the country.
Yeah, this has escaped a lot of attention, I think, in secular media here. The rather astounding dimensions that took place in the election in Bolivia. Now, we can go back not that many years to the fact that the Bolivian government itself was ardently socialist. And that has been thoroughly rejected by the Bolivian people. And from that standpoint, the bishops themselves, who have been facing mounting secularization and a lot of hostility from the socialist regime there, can look to this runoff. So we have two, what are generally considered centrists, but really in terms of Bolivian politics, my understanding is that they're considered very conservative, certainly in comparison. One is the centrist Christian Democratic Party, and then he will face a former president by the name of Jorge Tuto Quiroga. And the centrist is Rodrigo Paz Pereira. Basically, what it means is that they're going to run off against each other. And in that sense, that the Bolivia is guaranteed a much more conservative government. And I think the bishops themselves looking at this are really expressing hope for a change in political direction.
My guest is Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. We're talking about church news, current events in light of Catholic teaching. And we're just talking about the Bolivian bishops expressing tremendous hope at the political shift of the country. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes, without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
If you've noticed improved sound from 990 AM, you'd not only be correct, but you have yourselves to thank. Donors like you to our Strong Towers Foundation is allowing us to make some improvements. Ave Maria Radio has a lot to go, but we wanted to thank you and share the small victories so that we can continue to transform lives while offering hope, guidance, and truth to all those that are searching.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Michigan's Catholic Biblical School Ministry unpacks every book of the Bible to deepen your relationship with God. Engaging talks from live expert teachers make reading the Bible a prayerful, inspiring part of our faith. These adult faith formation classes start this September in dozens of parish locations and online. Learn more at cbsmich.org. That's cbsmich.org.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who joins us every week, Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. Matthew, I want to pick up just so that you can round off some of your thoughts about this new anticipated shift in the political milieu that Bolivia has experienced. So, not classically, but at least in recent history, we've seen a very heavy emphasis on progressivist ideology, and now it seems like the needle is moving centrist and potentially even to more classical traditional values.
Yeah, it is. In particular, we can focus on the government of Evo Morales, who was very much an ardent socialist. And, of course, the results speak for themselves in the sense that the church fell under definite attack with the increasing secularization, which is always inevitable. And now we have this opportunity for the Bolivian government to move to the right. Now we'll have to see how successful that is, as anyone who follows Latin American political history can tell you, that the swift movements in either direction tend to lead to pretty radical or extreme governments. So yeah. I think there's a hope anyway that any of these incoming governments will be much more centrist. But at the same time, you know, the Bolivian bishops themselves see this as an opportunity. And one of their big concerns is just stability in the country. And in that sense, they were very happy that the election itself was apparently peaceful. And I think they're looking forward to working with whatever government is actually formed here. And, I mean, this is a country that also had a failed military coup just recently, and, again, a lot of challenges. But there's also one thing to note, and that is that we have seen now this march to the right in Bolivia. Yep. We have seen especially the march to the right in Argentina with the Milei government. And I think, obviously, you see these shifts, not just generationally, but every so often in Latin American countries. So we'll see if this trend does continue, because it could bode well for the future of Venezuela, where the longstanding government, Hugo Chavez, and now the Maduro regime, and hopefully extending also to a place like Nicaragua, where the Ortega regime, as you and I have talked on a number of occasions, these are ardent Marxist regimes that are diametrically opposed to so much of what the church believes, and has really made the church the last bastion for hope for people in those countries, which means, of course, the severe persecution of the church, especially in a place like Nicaragua.
Yeah. But just to pivot so that we can cover this, joyous piece of news. The app, the digital app that's covering East Africa, Catholic radio stations across East Africa. This is a heartening work in the digital sphere for evangelization.
Yeah, that's right. We were just talking in the previous segment about the patrons for Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Here we have to the south in sub-Saharan Africa, in Eastern Africa, the establishment of a new digital app. Now, anyone here in the United States, for example, would say, well, great, they have an app. That's not particularly earth-shattering news. And yet, this is earth-shattering news, because what this is the launch of a digital app for Catholic radio stations that has been essentially celebrated by what's called the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences in Eastern Africa. In other words, that brings together the diocese, the Episcopal Conferences, in a number of countries like Eritrea, Ethiopia, Malawi, South Sudan, Sudan, elsewhere. And what it does is it's tying all of the radio stations, basically 66 radio stations, together in a single app. And what that will allow them to do through the use of this app is to really improve and really boost the efforts at two things: social communications, which is now so crucial in today's environment, especially in a place like Africa, and to help with evangelization at a time when we are seeing in a number of countries, including Kenya and elsewhere, inroads and real dangers being posed by radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the challenges that exist from what Pope Francis referred to as ideological colonization. So anything that really helps the area of evangelization, of education, of formation, and also to fundraise, to raise money for a number of the initiatives and programs that the different dioceses are trying to galvanize for the growth of the church in Africa.
And we can only anticipate tremendous growth and good coming out of the launch of this app. Like you mentioned, I think we take for granted here in the U.S. because anyone can launch an app in an evening here, but
that's right.
This is a significant advancement.
Yeah, and it's funny because I also see this as an important step in the work of the Episcopal conferences in Africa and the diocese and archdiocese in Africa, especially regionally. We can see here, for example, in East Africa, working together for the improvement of technology, for finding new ways of evangelization, the use of those technologies, which we're called to do as a church, certainly by the Second Vatican Council. So, but it marks, I think, a heightened level of cooperation on the communication side, which is always a good thing.
I want to pivot just before the segment ends to talk about some of the things pertaining to Pope Leo. Most importantly, that tomorrow he's calling for us to fast and pray for peace across the world, especially in the Middle East. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, the liturgical feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he has asked for a day of fasting and prayer. So he made this request at his general audience just yesterday, and asked essentially for, at a time, he said, when the earth, as he put it, continues to be wounded by wars in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, and in so many other different parts of the world, he invited the faithful to devote the day of August 22nd to fasting and prayer, imploring the Lord to grant us peace and justice and to, this is a beautiful phrase, dry the tears of those who suffer as a result of ongoing conflict, and then placed our trust in Mary, Queen of Peace.
Those truly are prophetic words, and it again signals his solidarity with those Christians, but also just generally those who are suffering in the midst of this conflict.
Yeah, and it's a reminder that you know, Pope Leo, like Pope Francis, like Benedict, is very much engaged in what's happening in the world. He is probably better informed about everything in the globe because of his place as Pope.
Right.
who he has access to. The church is everywhere, and he is always being informed by his nuncios, by the church in all the peripheries, as Pope Francis used to say. So he is very much engaged in peace, but he also recognizes that accompanying the diplomatic efforts that are taking place, and I can guarantee he is very well informed about all of the recent efforts at a settlement ceasefire that the President Trump has been trying to negotiate at the White House. But he also recognizes that accompanying that has to be prayer.
Yeah.
And placing ourselves under the protection, under the intercession of the Blessed Mother and of the saints. And I think that is something that is very useful for all of us, and it's something that all of us can do.
Considering all of that, and I mean, we're out of time in the segment, but we're going to continue on the other side of the break with a conversation on Pope Pius X. My guest is Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President, Editorial Director of EWTN News. We've been talking about church news, current events in light of church teaching. And as Matthew just shared with us, Pope Leo XIV is calling for all of us to join him in solidarity with the information that he has about what's going on in the world, no less, to a day of fast and prayer. That's tomorrow, Friday, August the 22nd. All of us are called by our Holy Father to fast and pray for especially hope and for conflicts to cease throughout different parts of the world. I'm Marcus Peter.
When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me. So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. As a father who's helped homeschool my 10 children, I know the challenges you face. That's why you should check out Sylvan Learning Centers for personalized support tailored to your child's unique needs. Expert tutors in math, reading, and writing provide fun, interactive lessons with both in-person and online options that fit seamlessly into your homeschooling routine.
Visit sylvanlearning.com. Mention Dr. Ray for 10% off at participating centers.
As Catholics, it's not always easy to share our faith with others. As a St. Paul Center member, you'll have access to a growing library of online scripture and theology content with Scott Hahn, John Bergsma, and other leading scholars to help you encounter Christ in scripture and empower you to share your faith confidently. Know Christ, share Christ. Get started free at stpaulcenter.com/ave. That's stpaulcenter.com/ave. Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, host of Ave Maria in the Afternoon and Unveiling the Covenants. Ave Maria Radio has been at the forefront of dialoguing faith at the intersection of all things pertaining to human flourishing. We need your help. Our infrastructure is in urgent need of updating. We want to ask you to support us in this summer campaign. Every gift, no matter how big or small, will be useful to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you. You are broadcasting hope with us.
We all know that something is eternal, and it ain't houses, and it ain't names, and it ain't earth, and it ain't even the stars. Everybody knows in their bones that something is eternal, and that something has to do with human beings. Those are the famous words from the stage manager of Thornton Wilder's three-act play, Our Town. And in that play, each character strives to find the eternal in what they do or might do, in giving famous speeches and traveling to exotic places and connecting themselves to the glories of a great nation. But as Emily, the main character, too late discovers, the eternal is not in what we do, but in what we are. That painful discovery is in her final futile words to her mother. Just for a moment now, we're all together. Just for a moment, we're happy. Let's look at one another. Herein is the fundamental message of the pro-life movement. The eternal is in each of us. Let's look at one another. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
We better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure.
Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Today we celebrate the feast day of Pope St. Pius X, a life that was, frankly, full of struggles, but also a tremendous legacy, liturgically and intellectually, to the Church. Dr. Matthew Bunsen joins us to talk about this, one of his favorite popes, especially in modern history. Matthew, we're shifting gears here, and I want to give you free rein. For us as the lay faithful, why should we remember the legacy of Pope St. Pius X?
Well, there are so many different reasons. the first is he is the Pope of Frequent Communion. So he understood the importance of the Eucharist in the life of the Church. He was also, and I would argue, one of the great and powerful voices speaking out against the ideological challenges of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those that had emerged out of the 19th century, what I was referred to as the isms of communism, of socialism, in terms of the Church especially, the dangers of modernism. He was also somebody who was deeply Mariological. He promoted Gregorian chant. He called for liturgical reforms. Really anticipating so much of what was going to come in the 20th century. And then his catechism is always worth mentioning.
Yeah.
His efforts at the reform of canon law that ended in 1917 after his death with mm-hmm. the promulgation of the 1917 Code of Canon Law, which itself was just an immense achievement. And at the end of his time as Pope, the desperate efforts to prevent what he knew was going to be a global catastrophe with World War I.
Mm.
And, I mean, he died on August 20th, 1914, at a time when the guns were already starting. And trying to prevent this catastrophe, it fell to his successor in Benedict XV to mm-hmm. try to solve this tragedy that was, and we're still dealing with the consequences of everything that was happening. But this is a time of immense change,
yeah.
of the next stages in the industrial and technological revolution mm-hmm. that he picked up the reins from Pope Leo XIII. So he falls after this monumental pontificate of Leo XIII from 1878 to 1903, the Pope of Rerum Novarum in 1891. And really, his election came about, I think, providentially, partly because the candidate that everyone assumed would be elected was actually blocked.
Yep.
And that's Mariano Rampolla, who is the Papal Secretary of State. He was blocked from election by Franz Josef, the Austrian-Hungarian emperor,
right.
As was one of the traditional rites. So that opened the door in many ways for the election of somebody who was not particularly well known,
mm-hmm.
And that was Cardinal Giuseppe Melchior Sarto, who was the Patriarch of Venice. So it's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
But a demonstration, again, of God making sure that exactly the right person who's needed at that time is elected.
Truly. And what's funny about it is the circumstances that led to his election were exactly what he stood against within months of his election into the papacy.
Yeah, that's right. And all of these great challenges fell to him. Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at his background, he was a simple priest in so many ways. He, by his own admission, was not a deep scholar, and yet he taught dogmatic theology and moral mm-hmm. theology. He was appointed by Pope Leo XIII as a bishop in Mantua, and then emerged as a cardinal and then the Patriarch of Venice, and was known especially for his deep pastoral care. And it's very interesting to me that someone with that reputation should, in the wake of what happened following the death of Leo XIII and this blocking of Cardinal Rampolla, that he's the one who would emerge as the candidate for the cardinals of the time.
His pontifical program illustrated that. Can you talk about his first encyclical? I think it's Esse Premii, right?
That's right. Well, in this, what he was trying to look at was focusing, for example, on Anselm of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he compares the difficulties faced by Anselm in his time in the Middle Ages
mm-hmm.
and the deep spiritual challenges facing the church at the time. And in this encyclical, he talks about the importance of family life, of strengthening the faith, and also is very self-deprecating. He uses the phrase that it because it was pleasing to the divine will to raise his lowliness to the sublimity of power. Where do we find the courage? Is that we take courage in him and relying on the power of God. But then he uses that great phrase, we proclaim that we have no other program but that of restoring all things in Christ, instaurare omnia in Christo, so that Christ may be all and in all.
Right. Which is a very Pauline, first of all, it is Paul's words that he adopts
yeah.
as his motto. And I wonder if you could comment on just how that Pauline spirit informs his governance as Pope.
Well, we see this idea of restoring things.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about restoration, what we're kind of getting at is that something has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to be restored. And again, building on the work of Leo XIII, who gave us this the Magna Carta of Catholic social teaching,
yeah.
as Rerum Novarum has been called, that this is like the next step in the application of Catholic social teaching. And that is to look then at what is happening in culture. And we can see the political crisis that was already at work in the geopolitical situation of these armed camps of these empires who were dedicating so many of their resources to the building up of arms, and everyone knew that some kind of a war was inevitable. And he was taking upon himself to really try to prevent that. But then he recognized that political solutions come and they go. What we really needed was to build a civilization rooted that is truly restored in Christ. And
mm-hmm.
that's where we can begin to appreciate why he was taking the efforts that he did at restoring everything in Christ, he says, looking at the Blessed Mother to help us, looking at the beauty of the liturgy to make it even more meaningful for people, really encouraging as well in one of the famous decrees, Quam Singulari,
mm-hmm.
which changed the age for the reception of communion from 12 to 7 years old in order to create even more the importance of habit of going to First Communion early and then having that as such a significant part of your daily life, your life, and then encouraging people to go to receive communion. And then his efforts also to restore a proper understanding of theology in the life of the church, to fight modernism, basically as the embrace of so many of these philosophies and outlooks that are antithetical to the teachings of the church, to the life of faith, and holding up in response and in building out, again, on the work of Pope Leo XIII, the place of Thomas Aquinas, and then promoting Neo-Thomism.
Right.
The embrace of Thomistic thought, but really applying it in a way that is so meaningful and valuable to the faith of the time.
Like Leo XIII, Pius X made very clear in his own strides that the attempt here isn't to create people who memorize Aquinas, but to create people who think in the heart of the church the way Aquinas did. And that's been invaluable in the rediscovery of Orthodox theology.
Yeah, and I would say that there are progressive Catholics who are not particularly fond of Leo X, Pius X. Why? Because of that struggle against modernism, in particular the famous encyclical Pascendi Dominici Gregis, yeah, which is just known as Pascendi, in which he really does condemn modernism. Mm-hmm. He used that great phrase that it is the synthesis of all the heresies. And in some ways, we can see how that has played out over the decades, especially in the late 20th century, in the 1970s, 1980s, of this idea of pulling together so many of these bad ideas,
mm-hmm,
in the area of exegesis, of who an understanding of who Christ is, mm-hmm, of liberation theology, mm-hmm, of
pastoral discipline.
Exactly. So for Pius X, it was this recognition that if we are truly going to restore things in Christ, instaurare omnia in Christo, that has to start with a deep and abiding love for the authentic teachings of the church, and from that flowed this necessity to be clear in our teaching. And I think Pius X was somebody who really did accomplish that.
Of all of his documents, for all of our listeners, if they want to get dip their toes into understanding the thought and spirituality of Pius X, can you recommend a book or a document to start with?
Yeah, I would say start with Pascendi,
mm-hmm,
I think Quam Singulare.
Yeah.
It is a really interesting read because of what it does in terms of promoting the Eucharist.
Thank you so much for your time, Matthew. My guest has been Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President, Editorial Director of EWTN News. We were initially talking about the news, and for this last segment, just recounting the legacy and heritage of this wonderful Pope Pius X.